Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 28 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Joshua Grandison.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
Last week, the Obama administration sided with this minnow over the economic well-being of thousands of people in southeastern Kentucky.
Senator Mitch McConnell says he can't understand why the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is putting the survival of a small fish ahead of the needs of Kentuckians who live near Lake Cumberland.
A cleanup continues in eastern Kentucky following last night's ice storm.
And the debate between evolution and creationism takes center stage in Kentucky.
In sports, both Round County basketball teams are home tonight for Fleming County.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
Turning colder tonight with the low in the upper teens, the complete forecast is coming up. But first, this news.
Here is the latest list of school closings for our listening area for tomorrow. Carter County, Elliott, Lawrence, Menifee, Morgan, and Bath County schools will all be closed tomorrow. We'll keep you updated as the list updates. State Transportation Cabinet work crews have been busy today clearing fallen trees, mud, and other debris from roadways in eastern Kentucky. Spokesman for District 9, Alan Blair, says there is still a lot of work to do following Tuesday night's ice storm.
Our crews will still be working quite a number of hours more to remove fallen trees and other debris that as necessary. We just remind people to watch and keep a lookout on the road in front of them. Just make sure that they're very careful. There could be a work crew or debris in the road just around that next curve. So, people need to be cautious as they travel over the next day or so.
Blair says a mudslide on Kentucky 801 in Rowan County earlier today has been cleared. He says portions of roads are closed across the district because of water-related difficulties.
Crews from Kentucky Utilities and Louisville Gas and Electric are still working to repair lines brought down by the overnight ice storm. Cliff Feltham is the company's spokesman. According to Feltham, at one point, workers were trying to restore power to as many as 71,000 customers. He says, however, they've made good progress in the last several hours in getting that done.
We've got just a little bit more than 13,000 across the state. The majority of those are concentrated in the area of Lexington and Louisville, and then there are scattered outages across the state.
Most of the major problems for the company remain in Lexington and Louisville. LGE and KU serve customers in 77 counties.
At least one Eastern Kentucky power company was spared the multiple outages sustained by other companies during the overnight ice storm. According to spokeswoman Mary Beth Nance, Fleming Mason Energy had less than 100 customers lose their electric service due to downed power lines.
We dodged a bullet this time, so we're very happy about that. Now, whether when it freezes some more or whatever it does weather-wise, we are ready to go. We have had an emergency meeting yesterday with our linemen and all of our crews, as well as our staff's meetings to go over our emergency plans if anything else should transpire.
Fleming Mason serves over 23,000 customers in Rowan, Fleming, Bath, Bracken, Lewis, Mason, Nicholas, and Robertson counties.
Ashland City Manager Benjamin Bitter says the latest winter storm has slowed the city's efforts to restore water service to all of its customers. He says power was knocked out this morning to some neighborhood pump stations, and that caused about 100 people to lose their water. Otherwise, he says the news is pretty good.
Our main tank, the DeBord tank, was at about 21 feet yesterday. It's currently at 37 feet. So whereas we hadn't seen a real increase in the DeBord tank, it's kind of hovered around 21 feet for a few days. We've now seen almost a 90% increase in that tank.
Bitter is hoping that water levels in all the city's tanks will be back to normal in a few days. He says the city's main tank began the day about 6 feet higher than yesterday. The Ashland area is now in the eighth day of its water crisis. Thousands of people in the city and surrounding communities have lost water service or experienced low pressure because of the weather-related line ruptures.
Water customers in Flatwoods are being asked to begin conserving water immediately. The mayor's office tells WSAZ that the city's water tanks went dry overnight. Customers began losing water service on Tuesday morning. Those with water likely have very low pressure. The loss of service is expected to last a couple of days. A boil water advisory is in effect for anyone who has running water. The mayor's office says they would normally handle the situation by buying water from Ashland, but due to the ongoing issues there, they can't get help.
Kentucky's senior senator is accusing the Obama administration of making an absurd decision not to raise the water level in Lake Cumberland. Republican Mitch McConnell says the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has chosen not to allow the lake to return to normal operations this summer in order to protect a fish on the endangered species list. He says the action is intended to safeguard a 2.5-inch minnow called the dusky-tailed darter.
First, the administration is protecting a fish from water? Get this straight. Protecting a fish from water? The radical environmentalists in the Obama administration don't want this fish to be exposed to too much water? What's next? Protecting birds from too much sky?
McConnell says the Corps' decision to hold down the water level will only hurt McCreary, Clinton, Laurel, Russell, Pulaski, and Wayne counties. He says they depend on the lake for economic well-being. The Corps reduced the water level in Lake Cumberland in 2007 because of problems at the Wolf Creek Dam.
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell's support of the federal farm bill is drawing sharp criticism from his Republican challenger in the Kentucky GOP Senate primary. Louisville businessman Matt Bevin says the nearly $100 billion a year measure amounts to a massive overreach into free markets. Bevin says most of the spending goes to quote-unquote welfare programs and says McConnell's failed taxpayers yet again. McConnell's campaign spokeswoman Allison Moore says Bevin's criticisms show that he is out of touch with Kentucky farmers and the bill's importance. Kentucky Farm Bureau President Mark Haney is praising Senate passage of the Farm Bill. He says the measure provides farmers with the needed stability to continue production.
A conference on farming, land use, and food policy is being planned for this fall in Lexington. Kentucky Agriculture Commissioner James Comer says American Farmland Trust, a conservation organization, is putting on the event October 20th through the 22nd. The AFT's president says it will be the first national conference to bring together diverse interests to look at agriculture challenges in the 21st century. Events planned include an opening reception featuring items produced in Kentucky, a farm tour in Fayette County, mobile workshops on urban agriculture, and local food enterprises in Louisville and Lexington.
Kentucky's coal industry shed more than 2,300 jobs last year, according to the latest numbers from the State Energy and Environment Cabinet. As KPR's Erica Peterson reports, most of those losses were in eastern Kentucky.
From the second to third quarter of this year, Kentucky saw coal production drop 5% and shed 439 jobs. But the losses weren't consistent across both ends of the state. Both production and jobs stayed nearly the same in western Kentucky, while eastern Kentucky recorded declines. This report is the latest in a series that shows a negative trend in the state's eastern coal fields. Coal mines have been shutting down or furloughing workers in record numbers. Most recently, James River Coal announced it would close all of its mines in eastern Kentucky, laying off 525 miners. The weak demand for that region's coal will likely continue. As Appalachian coal reserves get harder to reach, they're more expensive to mine, and new environmental regulations and inexpensive natural gas prices have prompted many utilities to switch away from burning coal. For Kentucky Public Radio, I'm Erica Peterson.
Governor Beshear will lead a trade mission to the United Kingdom, one of Kentucky's largest export partners. Beshear's office says it'll happen May 11th through the 16th. The Kentucky delegation will make stops in London and Manchester. Kentucky exported more than $1.6 billion in products and services to the United Kingdom last year, up more than 20% from 2012. Top exports include aerospace and pharmaceutical products. Beshear says the trip will give Kentucky companies a chance to build business ties in the United Kingdom, which has the world's sixth largest economy. He says the mission will focus on increasing commerce and promoting tourism.
A group of students from Eastern Kentucky University is talking directly to the city of Richmond to offer their ideas for stimulating activity in the downtown area. KPR's Stu Johnson has the story.
It was promoted as an EKU student conversation with Richmond Mayor Jim Barnes. Organizers say it was the first time a sitting mayor participated in a program to solicit thoughts from Eastern students. Mayor Barnes admits no big changes will happen overnight, but like a puzzle, a bit at a time.
The vision would be, you know, maybe more student houses closer to Richmond. When we get vacancies, maybe open restrooms up. you know, there's just things that we can do. But if you don't have a vision, you can't get the process started.
EKU Student Government President Sarah Carpenter says more events downtown and a facelift for some city buildings would be nice. She admits getting the right nightlife mix at the right time is a challenge, particularly on weekends.
That would be a great potential for nightlife, but students usually go home. And maybe that's because our downtown area doesn't have what their hometown downtowns have. But hopefully we'll be able to really boost that for our students. And maybe some of these ideas will help with that nightlife.
A few of the ideas posted on a board included a leisure social club with no alcohol sales, more downtown designated green space, and a hookah bar. For Kentucky Public Radio, I'm Stu Johnson.
Kentucky's Senate president says a constitutional amendment is not needed to okay expanded gaming in the Commonwealth. Manchester Republican Robert Stivers says both he and House Speaker Greg Stumbo agree that there's nothing in Kentucky's constitution that outlaws legalized gambling.
If anybody finds that prohibition in the constitution, they need to make two phone calls real quick. One to Keeneland and one to Churchill Downs, because they've been gaming there for years and years and years by pari-mutuel wagering. So it's political cover for people to say there is the need to put this on the ballot, because really there's not.
As he noted, Stivers believes many state lawmakers want to make expanded gaming a constitutional amendment issue that would be decided by the voters in order to protect themselves politically. It would take 23 votes in the Senate and 60 in the House to get the matter placed on the November ballot.
The Five-Co region has had two confirmed influenza deaths this winter, according to a Boyd County health official. Christy Bolin, the senior regional epidemiologist with the Boyd County Health Department, tells the Ashland Independent that more deaths have gone undetected. She says that a flu death can only be detected by testing cultures taken from the deceased, but that often does not happen. Bolin notes that people with pre-existing conditions, children, and the elderly generally take the flu the hardest, and this year's strain is very quick and harsh. Even so, according to Bolin, this year's flu season has been pretty typical.
Shoppers at groceries across Kentucky donated a record amount of goods and money during a one-day drive to benefit Kentucky Domestic Violence Association shelters in the state. First Lady Jane Beshear says the 6th annual Shop and Share Day on Saturday raised more than $830,000. Volunteers at the stores collected goods from shoppers, with all goods and money collected going to the shelters. The First Lady's office was one of the partners for the event. The office says that the Kentucky Domestic Violence Association handled more than 23,000 crisis calls last year and served over 43,000 men, women, and children through its member programs.
Certain purchases with public assistance benefits would be prohibited, and retail establishments could be fined under a bill approved today by the Senate Health and Welfare Committee. Republican Senator Whitney Westerfield of Hopkinsville is sponsoring the measure as a means of reducing fraud and abuse in the social welfare system. He wants to restrict the items Kentuckians can buy with taxpayer dollars, and he is pledging to work with the Cabinet for Health and Family Services to identify such things. Senator Tom Buford of Nicholasville likes the idea. However, the Republican says the plan may need amendments to block purchases made from machines.
Many of our food establishments, Kroger's, you name it, they have the red box machine where they sell, where you can buy videos, even McDonald's. And I got to tell you, in those videos, sometimes they're just rated R, but they take all their clothes off in those movies. Now, not that I'm watching those movies, man.
Senator Westerfield says videos would be an inappropriate purchase, regardless of their subject matter. Democratic Senator Julian Carroll says he applauds the efforts to curb abuse in the welfare system. However, he says federal law may not prohibit Kentucky to place restrictions on how federal benefits are used.
A crowd of hundreds braved snowy and icy weather to attend a much-publicized debate in northern Kentucky last night. Bill Nye, the science guy, and Ken Ham, the founder and CEO of the Creation Museum, faced off over the topic, Is Creationism a Viable Model of Origins in Today's Modern Scientific Era? Nye says no, based in part on Ham's assertion that the Earth is less than 6,000 years old and created in 6 days.
Is it reasonable that we have ice older by a factor of 100 than you claim the earth is. We have trees that have more tree rings than the earth is old. That we have rocks with rubidium and strontium and uranium and potassium argon dating that are far, far, far older than you claim the earth is.
Ham says there are inconsistencies among the dating methods used by scientists who claim the universe is billions of years old.
There's hundreds of dating methods out there, hundreds of them. Actually, 90% of them contradict billions of years. And the point is, all such dating methods are fallible. And I claim there's only one infallible dating method. It's a witness who was there, who knows everything, who told us. And that's from the Word of God.
Organizers of the debate estimate that an audience of 1 million viewed the event via an online stream.
And finally today, a team of officials from Lewis County recently collected some ideas for helping to promote local tourism, MSPR's Nathan Gutierrez reports.
According to the Ashland Independent, the group attended the annual Appalachian Getaway Regional Workshop in Abingdon, Virginia. The event featured national and regional experts who held training sessions on how to promote local economic development initiatives in towns and communities located near national forests, state parks, or other public lands. By completing the workshop, Lewis County became eligible to apply for the SEED grants to help launch its new tourism association. Vice President of Sustainable Programs and Director of the Conservation Fund's Conservation Leadership Network, Chris Holland, says Lewis County was an ideal candidate to take part in the event because of its abundant natural and cultural resources and its emphasis on the arts. Reporting for MSPR News, I'm Nathan Gutierrez.
Your weather for tonight will be colder, mostly cloudy, a slight chance of freezing rain or snow, lows in the upper teens, chance of precipitation 20%. Tomorrow we'll find it mostly cloudy, highs around 28, and tomorrow night will be cold and mostly cloudy, lows 10 to 15. The wind chill readings will be 0 to 10 above 0. Friday will be partly cloudy, highs in the upper 20s, wind chill readings around 0, and Friday night will be mostly cloudy with a 30% chance of snow, cold, lows 15 to 20.
It is 4:47. You're listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It's tax time again, and Governor Steve Beshear says more Kentuckians should be thinking about taking advantage of earned income tax credit.
January marks the beginning of tax season, which can bring an extra cash infusion to many Kentuckians through the Earned Income Tax Credit, or EITC. Thousands of Kentuckians are eligible for this benefit, and the eligibility levels and refund amounts have increased. Families with three qualifying children who earn up to about $51,000 in 2013 are eligible for this benefit, and the average refund is $2,200 per household. That's real money that goes directly into Kentucky wallets. The IRS estimates, however, that approximately 20% of eligible workers fail to claim this benefit every year. To get started on filing, visit one of the almost 200 free tax preparation sites across our state where IRS certified volunteers will assist folks at no charge. For a location near you, visit assistance.ky.gov or call Community Action Kentucky at 800-456-3452. This is Governor Steve Beshear.
Jared Wesley has been keeping his eyes on your sports world, and he's up in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR is provided in part by Toyota Motor Manufacturing Kentucky. Each day, around 2,000 vehicles are made at the Georgetown plant. A factory tour gives you an insightful look at what goes into building the Avalon, Venza, and Camry. You can ride a guided tram car and see the process from start to finish, including a glimpse of giant cold-rolled steel coils that automatically presses shape into doors, hoods, and roofs. Tours are Monday through Friday, and reservations are highly recommended. ToyotaGeorgetown.com.
There will be a doubleheader tonight in Rowan County. Good evening. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Jared Wesley. With the weather messing things up the last couple of days, Rowan County's basketball teams will try it again tonight. The Vikings and Lady Vikings will have a doubleheader against Fleming County. The action will start at 6. The Rowan boys will be out to snap a 7-game losing streak against the Panthers. However, Coach Sean Thacker won't say that his team has developed a mental block when it comes to Fleming.
I think it's just been a run of bad luck as well. I think we've played some really good basketball, and had opportunities to win. It just, for some reason, just seems like luck's not been on our side with him. But if we keep plugging away, keep doing the things we're doing, I think eventually we'll take care of that.
As for the 10-10 Lady Vikings, they'll be out for their own measure of revenge against Fleming County, who's beaten them twice already this season. The Morehead State Basketball Eagles could have a key player back for Saturday's key OVC contest at EKU. Junior point guard Kareem Story suffered a hamstring injury in MSU's January the 23rd loss at Belmont and has been out of the lineup. Story is expected to return to the Eagles lineup this weekend, and freshman forward Greg Dotson says his ball handling skills will make Morehead a much better team.
Kareem is an important part of our team. You know, he runs the show. You know, it's tough without him, but when he comes back, I feel like we'll make that final push for the tournament or the rest of the season. I think we'll be good. You know, everybody's healthy, going strong for every game, so I think that'll be good when he gets back.
Dotson has been starting for MSU with Story out. Sophomore shooting guard Brent Arrington has also been filling in at the point. A strong second-half performance and a big contribution off the bench from Willie Cauley-Stein led Kentucky's 18th-ranked Wildcats to an 80-64 SEC win over Ole Miss last night at Rupp Arena. The 7-foot sophomore sparked UK with 18 points, 11 rebounds, and 6 blocks. The Cats led the Rebels by only a point at halftime, but Cauley-Stein says they took charge of the contest by taking control of things inside.
They outscored us in the paint in the first half, so it's like that's where it came back at. Like second half, they're not going to get those points in the paint anymore, and then we're going to have to do our thing that we was doing to the guards in the beginning. I mean, that's what it came down to. That's what pushed the lead.
The Wildcats also helped themselves by shooting 60% from the field in the second half. UK improved to 15-5 overall and to 7-2 in the SEC. They faced Mississippi State in Starkville on Saturday. Winners of 4 of their last 5 games, the Louisville basketball team will play at Houston tonight at 9 in an American Athletic Conference game. Coach Rick Pitino's 14th-ranked Cardinals will return to action without junior power forward Wayne Blackshear, who will miss the contest after suffering a concussion during the team's Monday practice.
The problem is, you know, if Montrez gets in foul trouble, we really have major problems in this basketball game. If Luke gets in foul trouble, we have major problems in this game. So they're a very tall, physical team.
The Cards will return to the hardwood, looking to build on their 18-4 overall record. Only a few weeks ago, they demolished Houston 91-52 at the KFC Yum Center. There is a plethora of college basketball games on this evening. Looking at some notable games around the nation, undefeated Wichita State hits the road to Indiana State. Michigan hosts the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Houston hosts Louisville. Oklahoma travels to West Virginia. Miami welcomes in Pittsburgh. And Boston College takes a trip to Virginia to battle the Cavaliers. There are 12 games on the NBA hardwood this evening, with the headliner being the Miami Heat taking on the Clippers in L.A. The Clippers open up a 5-game homestand tonight, and what better way to do so than welcoming in LeBron James and company. The Clippers haven't been hitting their usual stride as of late, and head coach Doc Rivers discusses some of his team's recent obstacles.
A lot of it is, you know, the guards are getting beat off the dribble, and they're getting beat off the dribble. The bigs are in rotation. It's not just as simple as the bigs aren't rebounding. The bigs are rebounding. The bigs are in help half the game, and we got to do a better job of controlling the dribble. We do a better job of controlling the dribble than our bigs are under the basket rebounding where they should be.
The Clippers have been terrific at home this season, winning 20 games and losing just 3. In other games around the league, the Trailblazers take on the Knicks in New York. The Rockets welcome in the Spurs for a battle in the West. The Cavs host the Lakers, and the Spurs hit the road to Washington. With National Signing Day in full swing, Mark Stoops and his staff at Kentucky have signed the best recruiting class in school history. MSPR's Chase Scott has more.
After hearing 28 Yahtzees, Kentucky's 2014 recruiting class is set, and it's a historically great one. Anchored by 5-star defensive tackle Matt Elam from John Hardin High School, Stoops and company was able to get the top 4 players in the state, which include quarterback Drew Barker, defensive lineman Lloyd Tubman, and defensive end Adrian Middleton. According to Rivals.com, Kentucky has the 14th-ranked class in the nation and 9th in the SEC with a total of 1 5-star, 6 4-stars, and 21 3-star recruits. Reporting for MSPR Sports, I'm Chase Scott.
Finally, Morehead State baseball coach Mike McGuire says his players have made the best of things with the recent of snow, ice, and rain forcing most of their preseason practices indoors.
I think as a coach, you never feel like you're as prepared as you'd like to be as when you're getting those reps on the field. But at the same time, I think our attitude's been great about the weather, and we're just kind of going about our business and preparing as well as we can.
The Eagles opener is slated for Valentine's Day. They'll face Ball State down in Spartanburg, South Carolina. That'll do it for sports this evening. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Jared Wesley.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Season tickets are now on sale for men's baseball and women's softball. The baseball schedule features 23 home games, including visits from Eastern Michigan, Belmont, UT Martin, and Jacksonville State. More information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks fell mildly, with the S&P 500 finishing the session nearly unchanged as a better-than-expected report on the service sector helped neutralize another report that had companies adding slightly fewer employees to their payrolls than had been anticipated for the month of January. Earlier, the Institute for Supply Management's non-manufacturing index for January came in at a better-than-expected 54, showing expansion at a more rapid rate in January compared to December. And as mentioned on the employment front, the ADP private employer report showed 175,000 jobs added in January, slightly below the gain of 180,000 that had been estimated by analysts. And at the close today, these reports pretty much offsetting each other, and without any other real news to move the markets, the Dow finished down only 5.01 at 15,440.23. The S&P 500 was down 3.56 at 1751.64. The NASDAQ weaker than the other two indices, as the NASDAQ was down 19.97 at 4011.55. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 18 to 12 in favor of losing stocks over winners. Among your higher profile stocks today, the pharmaceutical giant Merck, it was announced that they had a newly announced cancer drug partnership with competitors, and its shares were up earlier, although they did finish slightly in the red today, as they had quarterly profit and sales that came in just below estimates for the fourth quarter. Ralph Lauren fell, turning course after pre-market gains, after the designer clothing company posted a 10% rise in third quarter profit. Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia President Charles Plosser today said he anticipates the U.S. economy will expand 3% this year as the unemployment rate declines to 6.2%, and as such, his view was that the Federal Reserve would continue its tapering program at previously announced levels. The dollar declined against the currencies of major U.S. trading partners, and the yield on the 10-year Treasury note, which of course is very important in figuring mortgage rates and other consumer loans, actually rose 4 basis points to finish at just under 2.67%. Crude oil futures for March delivery rose 19 cents to $97.38 a barrel, and gold futures for April delivery rose $5.70 to finish at $1,256.90 an ounce. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated up 69 cents at $90.15, CSX up 16 cents at $26.51, AEP down 55 cents at $47.95, AK Steel down 25 cents at $6.43, Marathon Petroleum down 94 cents at $82.31, and Community Trust Bank was down 57 cents to finish at $38.79. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Here is another look at the school closings for our listening area. Carter, Elliott, Lawrence, Menifee, Morgan, Bath, and Rowan County schools will all be closed tomorrow.
Your weather for tonight will be colder, mostly cloudy, a slight chance of freezing rain or snow, lows in the upper teens, chance of precipitation 20%. It is currently 28 degrees here in Morehead.
And that does it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help on today's program from Chuck Moraz, Tanner Boyd, Chase Scott, Jared Wesley, Nathan Gutierrez, and as always, Dan Conte. From KPR, Stu Johnson, and Erica Peterson. And our feature segment was provided by Governor Steve Beshear. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH in Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Joshua Grandison for Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is up next. The time is 5 o'clock.